Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another San Diego Soundbites episode. And in this one, I'm talking to a writer, Jeff Lemire, and artist Michael Walsh about the Black Hammer Justice League crossover from Dark Horse and DC. We've had one issue come out so far. I just read it. It's very intriguing. I don't want to spoil too much, but let's just say the series is off to a really, really great start. A lot of mysteries, and not sure who the bad guy is at this point. Not sure how it all went down, but the first issue, the way it ends, those last couple pages, as I said, very intriguing. So it was great to talk to Michael and Jeff about the project at San Diego Comic-Con. Looking forward to seeing where the story goes, being that the world of Black Hammer is such an homage to these classic characters. It's interesting to see what Jeff is doing with the story. Again, I hesitate to say too much because I don't want to spoil, but it's going to be a very interesting examination of these heroes, of these characters. So I do encourage everybody to get out there and check it out. As always, I want to thank everybody for listening. I'll go ahead and play the interview for you now, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, this is Jace coming to you live from San Diego Comic-Con, the 50th iteration, once again from the show floor. I'm here with a couple creators to talk about a new project they have coming out. It's Black Hammer and Justice League.
Yep.
So writer Jeff Lemire, artist Mike Walsh. And why don't we start with you, Jeff? Why don't you give us an idea, maybe a little bit about your Black Hammer universe for those that aren't familiar, and then talk about how this crossover came to be.
Sure, yeah. So the Black Hammer universe, it's a superhero universe. I started at Dark Horse in 2014, 15, I think. We started, you know, the first project, and it slowly expanded into this larger universe over, you know, from one project to the next. And it's kind of a, it's not your typical superhero universe. It kind of takes many of the tropes or expectations of the genre and then sort of inverts them, you know, and in hopefully kind of unique ways that are fresh. And then the Justice League crossover kind of came about. I believe it was DC who approached Dark Horse about the possibility, and I jumped at it. I mean, I'd written extensively at DC before this, you know, so I knew many of the characters really well, and I grew up reading DC mostly, so I love the DC universe, and the chance to see my own creations kind of mixed with these legends, these mythic, iconic characters that I loved as a kid was just a dream come true. You know, I couldn't pass it up.
Yeah, and right from the start of Black Hammer, you really were not only turning these sort of superhero, classic superhero archetypes on their head, but also paying homage. There's a lot of nods.
Yeah, it's a love letter for sure. It's not cynical at all. It's, I mean, I love superheroes. I love the history of superhero comics. You know, every era, back from the 1930s forward, you know, I love reading about it, I love studying it. So this was really my chance to kind of pay homage and write a love letter to all the things that I love about comics, about spirit comics. But also not to just, you know, you don't want to just retread or recreate or do pastiches of the things you love. You want to make them personal, and you want to try to make them fresh and unique to you. So it's a combination of both. You kind of walk a line between subverting things and making them unique, but also you know, paying genuine sort of homage to the things you love.
Yeah, now some of those things that you're honoring are going to be in the Black Hammer universe.
Yeah.
Or at least in the crossover.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal and kind of full circle. So, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, and then when we talk about paying homage to those things and honoring those things, from an artistic standpoint, Mike, what are you going for in this book?
I'm trying to delineate the universes a little bit in terms of color palettes and even some rendering styles. Like, I didn't want to do something too different to the Black Hammer world and the art that's already been seen in that world, but I still wanted it to have my own flavor, my own personality, and, you know, my own influence a little bit. But I did want to, like, keep things separate, and then as the Justice League characters come to the Black Hammer world, things shift a little bit more, and you can see the art kind of mimic the tone of the story and where it's going.
Any favorites that you have from Jeff's creations?
Yeah, Colonel Weird. I love drawing Colonel Weird. He is so fun. He's so fun to draw. Phasing in and out of reality and kind of floating around upside down all the time. He's a blast, yeah.
Yeah, and he's just quirky
when
it comes down to it.
For sure. I like Golden Gale a lot too. She's fun, really sassy.
Takes no crap from anybody.
Yeah.
The 55-year-old in the little kid's body.
Yeah, lots of personality there.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff, you mentioned having worked done a lot of work at DC, but never the Justice League. Am I right?
Actually, I did because I did. I co-wrote Trinity War with Jeff Johns back in 2011, 2012. So I got to write most of the big guns there. And then the Justice League projects that I did do did tend to be like the secondary Justice League books. So I would do like Justice League Dark or Justice League United. So it was never the big guns.
Right.
I never got to really play with the big three, the Trinity or even Flash or Green Lantern. I hadn't done a lot with either of those characters. So yeah, it was fun to actually kind of write scenes with Batman and Superman and stuff because I never really did that.
Well, I know you've been around long enough. You're not intimidated to work on those kind of characters, but is it a challenge writing characters that are so iconic?
No, not really. I mean, by the time you get that deep into a project, you're not thinking that way. You're just trying to make the best story you can. You're trying to scene by scene, trying to service what the scene is and what you're trying to reveal about the character or the story that needs to. So it's just so at that point you're not kind of standing back and looking at it. It's when you first get the gig and you first start thinking about ideas for what Justice League Black Mirror, that's when you get intimidated and that's when you have to kind of get over that stuff and kind of get into writing a story. But once you're in it scene by scene writing the characters, then it's just it's no longer sort of that outside looking in thing. You're just sort of doing the work. So.
And Mike, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the collaborative process between you and Jeff. Now, Jeff, incredible writer, but also an artist in his own right. So I imagine that may be an advantage. You guys kind of talk the same artistic language.
Yeah, I love working with writers who are also artists because I find they have a very strong idea of how much can fit on a page. They don't really overwrite very often, and I'm not struggling to squish beats often, ever, really. This is one of the most drawable scripts I've ever had the pleasure of working on. So it's been, a dream job for sure.
Now, Jeff, can you tell us, we don't want to get too spoilery, but can you give us an idea of how this crossover happens? Like, how do the Justice League end up in the universe, and just maybe give us some broad strokes about the story you guys are going to tell?
Yeah, well, the source of the sort of crossover is still a bit of a mystery until issue 4 or something. So I don't want to spoil that, but in the first issue we see the Justice League characters in their familiar world in Metropolis and vice versa. You see the Black Hammer characters still stranded on the farm. And then over the course of that first issue, a mysterious stranger shows up in both worlds simultaneously. And there's some magic involved as Wonder Woman senses, and the next thing you know, Abraham Slam and the gang are in Metropolis fighting Starro, and the Justice League characters are on the farm, but in their minds, the twist is they think they've been there for 10 years. They think that they're the ones who have been stranded for 10 years, and they've already kind of settled into that life, and that's where we leave them, so that's where it starts.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about tone already, Michael. You talked about the way you're going to delineate between the two. Overall for the story, is there a certain kind of atmosphere that you're trying to capture? I know when we talk about Jeff's initial Black Hammer issues, especially when it came to the color palette, it felt very melancholy, which suited the story Jeff was trying to tell about them having been trapped there so long. Is there a particular mood that you're going for here?
It differs scene to scene. That's one of the things that I love about Jeff's writing in the Black Hammer world, is that some issues in the Black Hammer book, they feel like a horror book, and then some issues feel like a crime book, and some issues are comedy, some are surreal and abstract, and I feel like we kind of run the gamut a little bit in this book as well, but at its heart, it's a character piece, and so I try and change the palettes scene to scene to reflect the tone of each scene individually. There's not really an overarching thing. Just as long as I'm separating the two worlds clearly is my main concern.
Any particular challenges that are unique to this project?
Drawing that many characters is challenging because I try and, give each character a bit of its own personality, of their own personality, and use different character models and faces. And when you have two big super teams all on one double play splash fighting, you know, 100 monsters, it's a challenge more in terms of time than anything, and trying to make sure that everything's interesting and flows well and is coherent, and you know, the narrative structure works, you know, where everybody is in relation to each other. And yeah, storytelling is really important to me, and when you have such a big cast, that can be just something that you have to be very concerned with, considerate of.
And isn't it true that if it's a Black Hammer story, you do have to also make room for those character moments, and oftentimes that it, you know, it is just one panel with a emotional reaction, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like...
You definitely have to, and that's one of my favorite things to draw, and I think that's one of my strengths as an artist, so getting to draw those moments is always one of the most exciting things about a book like this.
Well, I'm really excited for it. Best of luck with the book. Do we have release dates for when...
Issue 1 is out. It came out last week, and then it'll be monthly from there. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I love the Black Hammer universe, and it's always great to see you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Mike, it was great to meet you.
You too.
And hope to have you back on soon.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.